Hello and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show. Today is Monday, November 23rd, 2020. There has been some fairly significant developments over the weekend and today that Dr. Nyman would like to go over. Dr. Nyman.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, I'm just trying to do a quick little update on the numbers as well as update on the vaccine front with AstraZeneca. And GSA's announcement that the Biden administration could start the transmission process. So as far as the activity levels, the last few days have really been weekend days, even Mondays affected by the weekend, but today the numbers were very high, record high actually for a Monday. So far, there's been 166,605 cases and 884 deaths. Like I say, that's a high number for a Monday because that's really reporting Sunday levels, and usually the two lowest days of the week are Sunday and Monday. And yesterday was a little bit lower, which is typical, but it was still 140,760, which is also a record number for a Sunday, and there were 905 fatalities. Saturdays are depressed somewhat because not all the states report on the weekend. But since they're reporting Friday levels, they're usually higher, and that is the case. So this was not as high as Friday, but Saturday would have, again, been a record number for a Saturday. It was 175,955 cases with 1,541 fatalities. And just as a reminder, the all-time high was set on Friday, and that was 193,171 cases. And the fatalities were 1,860, which was just off the recent high. It's not an all-time high, but it's the highest since May. And that was on Thursday when there were actually 2,006 deaths. So it broke 2,000 for the first time since May. And last Thursday, there were 186,862. So in general, the numbers are markedly higher than they were for the corresponding period a week earlier, and this weekend continues showing that the levels remain very high. That has led to announcements to avoid Thanksgiving celebrations with larger numbers or even travel. The arguments were against travel in any mode, especially airlines, but regardless of whether it was air, rail, or car, this still would involve moving from one location to the other, and usually would involve going to, even if it was a family member, it wouldn't be a family member that you normally see. And so it would be increasing the possibility of transmission, even if you were tested. So there was extra testing that has been done by people trying to confirm that they actually are negative or to change plans if they actually are positive. But in spite of those tests, there's no guarantee you can have been infected a day or two before the tests and not have enough virus to be a positive, or you could be infected a day or two after the test, which obviously wouldn't be picked up by the test. And then by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, You could be infectious, and in fact, you could be infectious if you're asymptomatic or if you're pre-symptomatic. So you could be asymptomatic because you haven't really yet developed symptoms, and you could develop symptoms during Thanksgiving or shortly thereafter, but pre-symptomatic levels can be even higher than symptomatic levels, and therefore you could be very infectious even though you're not yet showing symptoms. So the safest thing, of course, is to stay home and not have those interactions, but apparently many will. The airport traffic is the highest it's been since the springtime, and so there are a lot of people traveling in the United States, and it's raised concerns because the numbers are extremely high. They're higher than they've ever been, and they are in general rising dramatically, and there's concern that the pandemic will tax healthcare delivery, and not only tax it for delivery for COVID cases, but actually fill up beds and lead to infections in healthcare workers. So there would be a shortage of healthcare workers. So even if there were emergency beds that were set up, they wouldn't have the personnel to man those beds. That is because healthcare workers are being infected from community transmission because the levels are high in their neighborhood, and they're being infected in work-related cases or work-related contacts like employees or support services. And as a result, there's a potential shortage of healthcare workers. And then the fact that the pandemic is so widespread in the United States, there's not, kind of a traveling group of healthcare workers that can go to locations that have high levels and are short on personnel because the high areas are throughout the country. And consequently, there's not a lot of healthcare workers that are able to leave whatever location they were at and go to an area that has a high level of cases. And the concern is that the cases are high and continuing to increase. Excuse me. And it's not clear how well those increases will be handled in the near term. So even if hospitals aren't at capacity today, they could end up being taxed in the next several weeks if the rates continue to increase. And it would be even greater if the rates go even higher because of the holidays, and that's one of the reasons travel on Thanksgiving is being discouraged. The other reason for travel could be weather-related, that the colder air in the northern states anyway forces more people inside, both the colder air as well as potential snow or ice storms, and keep people off the streets and in enclosed places, which have a tendency to increase the transmission of the virus. And so that is part of the reason the numbers are going up across the country. The other reasons are, you know, pandemic fatigue, people are taking precautions, and they're just kind of been doing it for so long, they don't want to continue doing it. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and some people think that it really isn't a problem or is similar to the flu. And then other people think that masks are a political statement and therefore refused to wear masks or reluctant to wear masks. And all of those things combined are increase the likelihood of the virus transmitting. And that's part of the reason that the U.S. has more cases and more deaths than any country in the world. So it's still a dire situation. It is getting worse, and it's likely to be exacerbated by the Thanksgiving holiday, which could then be followed up with Christmas and New Year's and other holiday celebrations around the end of the year. And that could lead to more travel, more gatherings, and more transmission. On the good news front is the GSA making their determination that Biden was the likely candidate, future president, and therefore can start to access personnel in the Trump administration as part of the transition. And there were concerns that the failure to make that determination was going to lead to delays in the distribution of the various vaccines. There was good news on the vaccine front with the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is an adenovirus-based vaccine. The good news is that under the right set of conditions, they were also getting in the neighborhood of 90% efficacy. However, the right set of conditions do require two injections, and they require a half dose initially, followed by a full dose with the booster. The trials in the U.S., however, apparently just involved the full dose given in both instances, and in both injections, I should say. And under that protocol, it seems that the efficacy rate is, I think, something, it's in the 60, I think it's 62%. And that is quite a bit below the 90-95% that are being cited by Pfizer and Moderna. And so I'm not sure how easy it is to switch over to the emergency use for the new protocol, which apparently has been used in other countries, and to use that data to get approval in the U.S. I think there may be a requirement that to get emergency use in the U.S., you have to run that particular experiment in the U.S. to at least show that the U.S. population is producing results that are similar to those that are being done in populations in other countries. I may be wrong on that. You may be able to use the other countries to get a U.S. Approval, but I would think that that would that would at least raise the question as to, well, if you tried it in the U.S. populations, and do they get the same results? And the answer to that is it would be at this time, they don't know, because it's not clear that any of the U.S. trials have involved using the half dose followed by the full dose. And whether that's a real effect is under investigation. So that would be the other question mark, is is that a, you know, the numbers sound significantly different, 62% versus 90%. And is that a real difference, or is that just based upon the initial data, which have relatively small sample sizes? And then the other question is whether this has to do with, you know, when the trial was run, whether as the levels of infection increase, is the vaccine going to be less effective? Much of viral infections are somewhat dependent on viral load. And one possibility is that as the virus gets established and there are higher levels of the virus, in part because people are inside or because there's more virus on surfaces because the temperature is cooler and the humidity is lower, it's possible that there's some selection for people that have a higher viral load and they're more likely to transmit. And therefore, the virus incidence of infections may be higher because there's just a lot more people with higher viral loads in circulation, whether they're asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic. And that could influence the clinical trials, because clinical trials are essentially based upon immunizing a large number of people and then waiting for people to develop symptoms or test positive, and then determining whether those people got the vaccine or they got the placebo. And it could be that the vaccine in general works better initially when the viral loads are a little bit lower, but then as things pick up and the number of cases are increased, it's also possible the viral loads get higher just because people are exposed to multiple people with the virus, and they could conceivably be infected by more than one person over a short time period, which leads again to the infection, and it may be harder for the vaccine to ward off those higher viral loads than lower viral loads. So those are all variables. These trials are in their earlier stages. They've been identifying, who's who, essentially removing the blinded portion and looking at the results. And they've been doing this when there have been in the neighborhood of 100 positives, or when they did the update, there were 200 positives, but that's 200 positives out of something like 40 some odd thousand vaccinated. So it's just a very tiny portion of the group. And it's only after trial has been going for a short time period. In fact, the first, I think, was for 7 days. The second one was probably for 14 days. So there's only 2 weeks worth of data, and that data may change over time. And so that won't be known for a few months as more and more people become affected. Now, the minus of all of these vaccines, the AstraZeneca that uses adenovirus, or the Moderna or Pfizer trials, which uses mRNA, is that all require two injections. And so even after approval and distribution, is still going to take in the neighborhood of 6 to 8 weeks for people vaccinated to be fully immunized, because they have to have their initial shot and then either a 21 or 28 day break before they get the second shot. And then it's going to be 2 to 4 weeks after the second shot before they have full immunity. So when you add all those up, it's closer to 6 to 8 weeks. after the first injection. And it's likely that the initial recipients of the vaccines will be healthcare workers and first responders and maybe some nursing home patients. And so it may not really be until sometime well into the first quarter of 2021 before a more wider group actually gets immunized. These would be higher risk people, and they probably won't be getting vaccine until next year. And then, like I say, it's still going to take 6 to 8 weeks before they're fully immunized, and therefore, the upcoming months, January, December, January, and February, are all going to be probably very bad months as far as the number of cases, and the vast majority of the population won't be fully immunized, even if they do get their vaccination started in the end of December or beginning of January. So the situation isn't going to be rescued immediately by vaccination. How well the vaccines will be received and how quickly they actually get out to larger populations all remain to be seen, and they probably won't be seen until next year. Hopefully with the transition beginning for the new administration, that handoff of responsibilities will be relatively smooth and won't lead to delays in distribution of the vaccine. I believe the companies are the ones that are actually manufacturing it, so that they should, with the guarantees that the government's going to be buying their product, and the opportunities to sell their product internationally, the companies will probably be scaling up pretty dramatically. They'll be doing that regardless of who's involved with the distribution. And I think that some of the companies are actually doing a lot of the distribution on their own through their own, through their established networks. So hopefully that'll go fairly straightforward. But in summary, the pandemic is still well into the out of control categories. It's likely to be exacerbated by the upcoming holidays. The upcoming holidays will also probably impact reporting. So, like I say, the numbers go down over the weekend. So normally tomorrow would start to get back to kind of normal levels to see how much the virus has spread. But since Thursday is going to be a holiday and it extends to Friday for many, and then it goes into the weekend, it may not be until next week, really, until there's some numbers that kind of give an indication on what the pandemic looks like before Thanksgiving interactions and potential opportunities for the virus to spread. And then to actually see the effects of that spread, it would probably take another couple of weeks as far as people developing symptoms and actually being tested. And then it would take a few more weeks to see the effect of that on hospitalizations and the initial effects on deaths. The deaths are quite a lagging indicator and are likely to be 6 to 8 weeks away from Thanksgiving, for instance. So those effects really aren't going to be very obviously until 2021, and like I said, those effects are not going to be impacted by the vaccine because it's not going to be approved and distributed prior to the end of the year, assuming everything goes smoothly. So anyway, today's numbers give an idea that the pandemic is still raging. Numbers on Tuesday and possibly Wednesday will give an idea on what the levels are like without the impact of the weekends and without the impact of the upcoming holiday, and it probably won't be until well into next week before there'll be good visualization on how bad things were prior to cases that are affected by the holiday, by Thanksgiving. So it's going to be a very difficult time. You know, this week the numbers should top 200,000 cases a day and 2,000 deaths a day. And those numbers are expected to continue to increase in the near term, probably throughout this year, and probably the first couple of months of next year. And so it's not a good situation. It's likely to get worse. Hospital beds and services are going to be in short supply and could affect not only treatment of COVID cases, but virtually anyone in the United States requiring some type of hospitalization and that level of care. So we'll try to get another update before Thanksgiving, but the situation says the situation pandemic is not good and not likely to get better anytime soon, and will almost certainly be exacerbated by the upcoming holiday.
All right, thanks for the information. Listeners, please, as always, go to RecanoX.cl for all the latest information, and we will keep you updated as the situation unfolds this week and in the future. Thanks for listening.